Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're in the book of Titus. We come today to Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. So get your Bible, open it up if you can, so you can follow along with me in the Bible, in your own copy of the Bible, as I teach it verse by verse. While you're getting your Bible, I hope I'm going to remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com, that you can study the Bible in its entirety from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages right there at thebibleversebyverse.com. Okay, well, let's pray and get into the Word of God today. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Titus chapter 2, just a reminder that this is written by the Apostle Paul to Titus, a young pastor. Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy are three of Paul's final epistles. He was awaiting execution because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Rome was about to chop his head off. So he writes these three short books, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, to these two young pastors to give them instructions on how to do it. So with that in mind, chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And he couldn't give a more important admonition than this. Titus, you're a pastor. Titus, you're a preacher. Titus, it's your job, therefore, to teach the Word of God and to do it carefully and do it correctly. Teach sound doctrine. If a pastor is not teaching sound doctrine, then no matter what else he does, he's a failure. The emphasis must be on teaching the truth, not teaching what people want to hear. If a pastor just talks about the things that he knows people want to hear, he is a miserable, terrible failure as a pastor, and he ought to get out of the business. You are there in that pulpit. A Bible teacher is there behind that microphone, or whatever the case may be, to proclaim the Word of God clearly in a way that is pleasing to God. And if you don't have the guts to do that, then quit, because you're going to lead people astray. If all you are trying to do is pad your pocketbook by saying things that please people or create more popularity for yourself, you are a miserable excuse for a minister of Jesus Christ. And God have mercy on you on Judgment Day, because you're going to need all that you can get. Verse 2. But let's read 1 and 2 together, because they kind of flow. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." What's part of that sound doctrine? Well, that the aged men be sober-minded, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. In other words, Titus, teach the old men among you, not just old physically, but those who are mature spiritually. You've been a Christian for a while. Teach them right from wrong, Titus. Teach them that they are to be examples, because they need to be examples to all the rest of the people in the church, because they're men, because as men, they have roles of leadership, and because as mature Christians, they reflect what they do, how they behave, and what they say reflects more on Jesus Christ than anybody else, because people will naturally look at them and say, well, they should know what they're doing as a Christian. If anybody is following Jesus Christ, it's got to be them. So they better be following Jesus Christ in their behavior. Because if you don't behave correctly, you have no moral authority to tell anybody else what to do. So he talks to the aged men, and then he switches gear in verse 3. "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." So tell the older women, those who have been Christians for a while, for a long time, again, not just aged in physical years, but those who have been around a long time, around the Lord for a long time, tell them to be holy in behavior. Because if you're not a holy woman, then you are no use to Jesus Christ. And you're going to be a bad influence on the younger women in the church. So he says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So, you see, if you behave badly, if you sit around and you do bad things, if you sit around and you drink too much wine or anything else that he's going to mention here that is wrong, if you're not holy, then you're not going to be able to teach good things. You can't teach good things, ladies. You can't teach good things if you're not living good. And young women, especially, as we will see, are the responsibility of older women who have been in the Lord for a while. They need direction today because they're sure not getting it from the world. They never have, and they certainly aren't today. So God wants you to be good, to be holy, so that you can teach good things. To who? Well, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to do things right, to behave correctly, the way a Christian woman should behave. And believe me, a Christian woman should not behave like a woman of the world. And you better give them a role model, or else, you know, young people, whether they're men or women, are looking for normal. They desperately want to find normal. And if they don't find the right normal by observing godly Christian men and godly Christian women, then they're going to find normal someplace else. And I'm afraid they're going to find it on television, in the movies, in Hollywood. Someplace, and it's not going to be a good normal. It's going to be a bad normal. It just sickens me. It turns my stomach to see how little girls mimic movie stars and pop singers. And they're so ungodly. And you can't go very far on the internet without seeing them behaving like their role models, which is terrible. Just absolutely terrible. I watched the Super Bowl yesterday. The halftime show I did not watch. I haven't watched a halftime show since the days of marching bands. Because I know what it's like. I don't have to watch it. I hear people talk about it. That's enough for me. But I did. My son was channel surfing a little bit during halftime because it was so long. And every now and then he would check back to see if the halftime show was still on. And sure enough, what a bunch of filth. What a bunch of vile, filthy, disgusting, godless, so-called entertainment that was called the halftime show. What a mess. And I can just see the young girls watching these filthy, vile sinners, these movie stars and singers, dressed the way they were, behaving the way they were. That's their role model. Christian girls need godly Christian women. Because if they don't get it from you, they're going to get it from the wrong place. That they may teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children. And that word love means to serve. Be a role model to young girls and what it means to be a wife and a mother. How that means being a servant. And that's what it does mean. And of course, that goes against the nature of man to serve. The natural bent of sinful human beings is to get what they want. So it has to be modeled. Being a servant takes training, and they need to see it in somebody who knows what it's about and how to do it, and does it for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's your job as a Christian woman. And he continues, that they may teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. be discreet, to be chaste, not like the women of the world in how they dress, in how they behave, in how they speak, but to be discreet, to have some class, as God would define class. You know what real class is? Holiness. To be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, as God defines good, which is another word for holiness. To be obedient to their own husbands. You know, somebody's supposed to drive in the house. Somebody's supposed to be in charge, and God has ordained that it be the man. And we're talking about Christian men and Christian women and Christian marriages here. That's what we're talking about. That's the context of this. I'm not talking to the people in the world. God's not talking to the people in the world when he says these things. He's talking to Christian men and women concerning their Christian marriage. Christian men are supposed to be godly. They are supposed to be the leaders in the home. They're not supposed to lord it over anybody. They're supposed to be leaders in the home, lead by example, and lead in love. Lead by doing what is right and demanding that right be done in the household. And women, Christian wives, and mothers are supposed to be obedient to their own husband. That means the husband's in charge, obey what they say. Unless they tell you to do something contrary to Scripture, then you owe it to God to disobey. Be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. If you have an unruly woman who claims to be a Christian, you know what's going to happen? She's going to dishonor God. She's going to dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. And then people are going to look at that. I'm talking about the ignorant, the unsaved, and maybe even baby Christians are going to look at that and they're going to say, this is what it means to be a Christian woman? I didn't know God was like that. I didn't know this is what the Word of God taught. And they will just assume that since you're an older Christian woman, that you're doing what Jesus wants. You ought to know better, they'll think. You ought to know right from wrong. So they'll assume that that's how you behave. And your behavior is going to reflect badly on Jesus Christ and the Word of God that you claim to believe if you behave in an ungodly manner and you're not holy. It is very important. You know, Christian women have a very important position in the plan of God. And they are to lead by example as well as by their words. And then he goes on to talk to the young men. He says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. So Titus is supposed to teach the young men to be sober-minded. Don't be led by your passions. Don't be led by your feelings, by your desires. Be sober-minded. See, everybody is supposed to be holy. Older men are to teach by example as well as word the younger men what it's like to be holy and to be sold out to Jesus Christ and to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus so that the younger men can follow suit because they have the responsibility to do that as well. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. That's a command to Titus. Titus 2. He's supposed to tell the older men and the older women to be good examples. Well, it all starts with him because he's the guy in charge. He's the pastor. He will be judged with a stricter judgment because God placed him in that position of leadership to lead his people. He better live the right way. I sometimes hear stories, and I mean, I've experienced this stuff myself in the past, going to churches as a younger Christian. Good Lord, God help us. Some of the worldly pastors who are there, who claim to believe the Bible, who claim to be evangelicals, there ain't a lick of difference between them and the unsaved world, I swear. except they know some Christian lingo. It's the way it is with a lot of them. I just can't imagine what Judgment Day is going to be like for those guys, because they're supposed to lead by example. You better be holy, or you better get out of the pulpit. You better get out of that position. You better resign, like now, if you don't plan on being sold out to Jesus Christ. Because as he says right here, talking to Timothy, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. You better be doing good works, Timothy. Titus. Because you got to tell older women and older men to do good works. And they're just going to laugh in your face if you don't do it yourself. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Just make sure that if anybody says anything bad about you, that it's a lie, that they have to be ashamed to say it because it's a made-up lie. And obviously, you cannot control what people say. And sometimes you will be slandered, but just make sure it's slander. And that the person who's saying the bad things about you, that the things that he's saying is not based in reality. Verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Be polite to those who are in charge of you. And of course, I don't know, wherever you're watching this from, maybe you still have masters and servants, but I think that's been pretty much eliminated from most of modern society. But we do have employees and employers. We all find ourselves in situations where we are under the authority of someone. You're someone's servant. And so be obedient to them. And do what is necessary to please them. Obey them. Do what is right in their eyes. Of course, restrict that to doing what is right in the eyes of God. Because if they ask you to do something that is contrary to Scripture, you got to say, no, I can't do it. I got to obey God. I'm first and foremost his servant. So be an obedient person. Obey those who are in authority over you. Don't give them a hard time. Don't make their job miserable. 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Be trustworthy. Don't be the type of person that will take advantage of someone as soon as their back is turned, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. See, and here we are with this situation again. As a representative of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, you are going to adorn the doctrine of God if you behave correctly. But if you misbehave, if the people that are in authority over you can't trust you, well, what does that say? And you claim to be a Christian? What does that say about Jesus? What does that say about the God that you claim to serve and the Word of God that you claim to live by? It dishonors both of those things wrongly. But people are going to get the wrong impression about Jesus. They're going to get the wrong impression about the Word of God too. You know, if you're going to do anything as a Christian man, a Christian woman, a Christian husband, a Christian wife, a Christian servant, a Christian employee, a Christian employer, it doesn't matter. If you're going to do one thing, just be holy. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. God wants everyone to be saved. And he wants you and I, as Christian men and women, to be that go-between between him and lost souls on the way to hell. But if you don't adorn the Word of God, if you don't adorn Almighty God, the God of the Bible, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by living holy, your effectiveness as a mediator between God and lost souls who God wants to be saved is going to be cut off. is going to be neutralized. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So behave yourself decently as a Christian. Live holy. Get your act together, your spiritual act together. Love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that people who are lost and on the way to hell can observe you and think, now, that if there is a God, that's the way he would be. And they see it in you. And then it's up to them. If they're interested, they're interested. If they're not interested, they're not interested. That's totally up to them. But at least you gave them an opportunity to see what the real God is like. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What does the grace of God teach? Well, let's look at verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Do you see that? That is what the grace of God teaches. The grace of God teaches us to be holy and righteous. Some people think the grace of God is a license to sin. Some people teach that. Oh, you're a Christian? Don't worry about it. You're under God's grace. You're not under the law. You're under God's grace. And they teach a form of license when it comes to sinfulness. But that's not what the grace of God teaches. The grace of God teaches us to be holy. If you are living by faith, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit is teaching you to be holy, to turn away from sin, not to be accepting of it and to say it's no big deal. The grace of God teaches us to do what is right in the eyes of God. I've known Christians. I can still remember having coffee with an elder, and I was only a few years old in the Lord, but I knew this guy was wrong. He had been one of those Christians for a long time, and he should have been leading me by example. He had been a Christian for decades longer than me. But I'll tell you what, from the day I got saved, I started taking in the Word of God. I remember going out to coffee with him. And we talk about a lot of things. And one time I remember him saying, you know, I used to try to live for Jesus, but I don't anymore. I just figured, what's the use? We're under grace. I knew that was wrong. I didn't say anything. But I knew it was wrong. You ain't going to get away with that attitude. He later tried to kill himself. He was so depressed, so discouraged because of his unholy lifestyle that he almost drove his car into a river or off a cliff or something. I don't remember what it was. You're not going to get away with that. The grace of God does not teach us to have a license to sin. It teaches us to be holy. If you're under grace, that grace enables you to live for Jesus and wants you to live for Jesus, not the opposite. And so if somebody is teaching the pure Word of God the way they should be, and they're teaching God's grace, they're not teaching you have a license to sin if you belong to Jesus Christ, just the opposite. They're teaching you need to live holy if you belong to Jesus Christ. By God's grace, you can do it. And that's where the joy is, and that's where the peace is. Because if you're not living holy, you're not going to have peace and joy. I don't care who you are. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, you have to deny these things. Your flesh wants them. I get it. Your flesh wants to be ungodly. You're a Christian. There's something in your flesh that still wants to be ungodly. You have desires. You have passions. You have lusts, and they want to be fulfilled. But God says you have to deny them. Oh, you say, I need years of counseling. No, you don't. You do not need years of counseling. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Because the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Don't turn to the worldly ways, and don't listen to those preachers and those pastors and those so-called counselors who tell you, oh, you need years of counseling. That's a bunch of baloney. You never see any of that in the Word of God. Nothing even remotely like that is taught in Scripture. What does God say? You got trouble with lust? You got trouble with wanting to do what you want to do rather than what God wants you to do? Fine. Deny it. Deny your flesh. Deny your sin. Deny it. The grace of God teaches you have the power to deny it. So go ahead and do it. See, I don't know. It's pretty hard. How am I supposed to keep my focus, my godly focus? Well, this will help. Look at verse 13. Because the last part of let's read 12 one more time, if you would. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Holiness, holiness, holiness. In this present age, which goes against everything that the world teaches, every way that the world behaves. They're just doing their own thing. They don't give a rip about God. You know that. You're not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be godly. You're supposed to be holy. Well, and this will help. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, keep an eternal focus. Keep a focus on Jesus Christ and on eternity. Remember that this world is not all that there is. And remember that what you do in this world and how you behave in this world will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, even if you're a Christian at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to stand before Jesus. No, not give an account of your sin. No, that's been paid for on the cross. But you're still going to stand before Jesus, and you're going to be judged as to how you behaved as a Christian. And it's going to affect your eternity in one way or another. No, you're not going to hell, not if you're really saved. But if you're really saved, you're going to want to please Jesus, number one, because you want to please Jesus. But there's always that other thing hanging over your head, too. This world is not all that there is, and someday you're going to stand before Jesus, and you're going to give an account. So keep your focus on Jesus. Keep that eternal perspective. That'll help you to live for God in a world that doesn't care about God. And speaking of Jesus, 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works. That's why Jesus died, to make you his child, to save you from hell, but also to purify you so that you will do good works. And then he says in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Speak the word of God with authority. These things that go against the grain of the world, these things that go against the norm, I'm afraid, of many modern evangelicals, it doesn't matter. Stand up and speak the truth. This is the way it should be. This is the way you're supposed to behave. This is what Almighty God says. Stand up and speak it with authority, and don't you dare apologize for the word of God. I get so sick and tired. I used to go to these places as a younger Christian. Every now and then, every blue moon, one of these preachers, these modern type preachers, would have the guts to say something that's in the Word of God, and they would always try to cover their tracks by saying, "Now I don't want to be a Bible banger, but this is what." Just shut up. You apologize for the Word of God. That's not speaking the Word of God with authority. Out of time. Continue studying the Word of God with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. Study from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages. Please remember also that we're brought to you by your prayers and financial support. If you like the Word of God, verse by verse, then click the donate button at the top of the front page and prayerfully give as the Lord God may lead. I would appreciate that very much because I'm not underwritten by large church or denomination. That's the BibleVerseByVerse.com. Until next time, so long.